this week, sending you one this week. And please just let me know what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and we'll try to accommodate the greatest number of people. I thought Morty said he was going to be ready. He is still in Israel until next week. In any event, let's start.
My brother got married
on Sunday. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're not here the Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos brachos this week. I'm back next Shabbos. Rabbi Haynes out the next 2 weeks. So Rabbi Miller's got the show himself. He's got the spotlight this week, and then next week I'll try to help him out. Okay, we're starting a new topic, and the topic is going to be ksuba. What is a ksuba? After all, the Masechta is called Maseches Ksubos, right? And we've all heard of this concept of a ksuba. What exactly is a ksuba? So, the term ksuba can be used to refer to different things. On the most basic level, it's a document, right, that we all have at every Jewish wedding. It's signed by two witnesses, and it basically stipulates the obligations that a groom takes upon himself on the wedding day, particularly in the event of divorce, what exactly he's going to do to ensure that his new bride and his wife's needs are taken care of. That's the basic ksuba. Our ksuba breaks up into three basic sections. The ksuba that we all use breaks up into three basic sections. There's what's called the Ikar ksuba. That's the core text of the ksuba, where the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Ksubos says that, or the Mishnah better yet, at the beginning of Maseches Ksubos says that a besula, a woman who's never been married before, gets 200 zuz. That's the basic stipulation of the ksuba, whatever that's worth in the contemporary currency. And an almana, someone who's been married before, receives 100, or grusha would also receive 100. That's the core text of the ksuba. The 200 for the besula, 100 for an almana. It's very interesting why the Yeshiva University Museum had an exhibit one time on different ksubos, the historical ones that were collected through the ages. Over the course of the past 1,000 years, they collected a whole group of different documents that were given at Jewish marriages, and they had them on display. So it was there were a number of interesting things to note. I mean, first of all, there were some nuanced technical halachic differences between the way they were formulated. One of the interesting things is noting all the different currencies that they were expressed in throughout the various ages of Jewish history. Jews were spread out all over the world, so you had all sorts of currencies that were expressed. So what we have...
No common commodity, like silver, gold, you know, something.
No, usually it was in like the currency that was used. We happen to use, if you ever listen to somebody read the ksuba at the wedding, we have the minhag to read the ksuba between the kiddushin and the nisuin. That's a separate topic, which we're probably not going to talk about, but we have the minhag based on Tosfos to read the ksuba based on the erusin and nisuin, right? So mechubad with kriyas haksuba, so and so. So if you ever listen, when we read the ksuba, we always have it in mea zekukin kasef tzaraf. So kasef tzaraf means like pure silver. What is a zekukin? Some kind of like German coin or something like that. I don't know what exactly a zakuk is. But that happens to be the currency that was used in much of Ashkenaz, and we kind of just carried it over. We didn't change it into dollars or anything like that. We happened to use mea zekukin kasef tzaraf.
The reason that
Tosfos give is to create a hefsek between the Erusin and the Nisuin. As we will see in this topic, Rav Rosenzweig thinks that there may be something more to it as well, and even Tosfos think that there may be something more to it as well. Maybe we'll highlight that at the end of this sugya, because some of the broader themes of this sugya might relate to that topic as well. So that's the first part of the ksuba. That's called the Ikar ksuba. That's the 200, the 100. That are entitled, that everybody is entitled to. Next, there's something called Tosefes Ksuba. The Gemara in Ksuba suggests this concept whereby you can add to a Ksuba. That's discussed in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Ksubos. You're allowed to add to the Ksuba. Thank you so much, Arthur. I appreciate it. Tovim Shinayim in Ha'echad. Tovim Shinayim in Ha'echad, as Kohala says. Thank you.
I'm
I appreciate it. Baruch Atzva Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bevaro.
You're Armenian.
So, in addition to the Ikar Ksuba, you have the Tosefes Ksuba. Whereby, in addition to that core 100 or 200 that every woman is entitled to, there's a minhag to give more, to give an additional amount. The Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Ksuba says you can make Tosefes Ksuba whatever you want. You can add as much as you want. We have the minhag to add another 200. So in addition to the first 200, you add another 200. That's the Tosefes Ksuba. And then there's something called the Nedunya. The nidunya are like additional obligations that the husband takes on towards his wife, and the wife takes towards the husband, etc., etc. So when they read the ksuba, right, they say ksuba deim nidunya da v'tosefta da, right? What are those terminology? Those are the three components of the modern ksuba that we have: the ikar ksuba, the tosefes ksuba, and then the nidunya. Those three components are all included in the document. And those collectively are often called ksuba. Now you have to be careful because, like I said, the word ksuba is often used to refer to different things. Sometimes we refer to the entire document as a ksuba. Sometimes ksuba is used to refer specifically to the ikar ksuba, to that core part of the ksuba, the 200 and the 100, that the pesula and the almana are entitled to respectively. So you have to be careful with the terminology, but when we talk about ksuba, we're primarily going to be talking about that ikar ksuba, not the tosefes, not the dunya. But the ikar ksuba, that core component, that core requirement, the 200 or 100, what is that about? And the primary question that we are going to be addressing is this notion of ksuba midah araisa, or is it midah rabbanan? Is it a rabbinic enactment to have a ksuba, or is it something minat Torah? Now, the first question should be, if it's minat Torah, then what?
Where's the pasuk?
Where does it appear? So as we'll note, we're not going to do that tonight, but there are a number of potential options for where the pasuk for ksuba appears. There's this thing called kimohar habisulos, which appears in Parshas Kisetze in the context of Knas on Onis Mufata. According to Rashi, at least, this notion of Mohar Habesulos, which is some ambiguous language that appears in the Pasuk, or not ambiguous, it's a little cryptic, it appears in the Pasuk, according to Rashi, it refers to a ksuba. And there are a couple of other places as well.
So basic to human life as marriage, there would be a direct pasuk that would address
it. Much of the details of, I mean, yes and no. Like many of the details of marriage, as basic as it is, are learned out from Torah Shebaal Peh, right? How do you know that kiddushin is performed through kesef, shtar, and bia? So bia seems somewhat explicit in the pasuk, but kesef and shtar are totally learned from Gzer Shavas. You know, kichu kichu misei Ephron. Shtar is hekesh v'yatzav haisa. What?
Isn't there shtar in the ksuba?
No. Shtar Kiddushin and Shtar Ksuba are two separate things. Yeah. We don't use a Shtar Kiddushin. A Shtar Kiddushin is a Shtar that says, Harayat Mikudash Esli, but Shtar Zo Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, and you give it to the woman. Whether or not you have to say something when you give her the Shtar is actually a topic that we discussed 2 years ago when we were doing those sugyas. That pertains to the nature of Amir B'Kiddushin. But a Shtar Ksuba is something totally different. And if you look at the context of marriage, where the whole concept of marriage comes up in the Torah, Kisetze, it says, if you marry a woman, and then you divorce her, you can't marry again. That's the Isser Maser Grushasa. That's the whole context of marriage in the Torah. It doesn't say, oh, here's the procedure of marriage. Ki kachi jisha, when he marries her and divorces her, don't marry her again.
You can marry her again.
If she marries somebody else in the interim. If she marries somebody else in the interim. It's the Isser Maser Grushasa. That happens frequently in the Torah. The Torah leaves much to Torah Shebaal Peh. But in any event, what is ksuba midaraisa, ksuba midarabanan? So the first Gemara that I have on the Makoro sheet is our Gemara, or it's the continuation of our Gemara, the Tosafot based on Yerem Aleph. Just for the record, I made these for tonight. We're going to have many more Mara Makomos on this topic. I just haven't finished compiling the list. So these we'll use tonight. Hopefully by next week we'll have a much more comprehensive list of Mara Makomos. But before we read our Gemara, and there are a number of Gemaras that discuss this topic, before we read our Gemara, I want to discuss source 2, which is Gemara later in Maseches Ksuvos on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Now here's what we're going to do for tonight. I think tonight we're going to lay a lot of the background for this topic, in terms of the Gemaras, in terms of the Rambams, in terms of the greater analysis. Hopefully we'll start at the end of tonight's shiur, but mostly we're going to conduct that next week. There's a little bit of background that's necessary before we can do that. So I want to discuss four Gemaras that explicitly address this topic. Is Ksuba Mida Oraisa? Is it biblical? Or is it Mida Rabbanan? Is it rabbinic? And then hopefully we'll begin to assess the position of the Rambam on the issue. As usual, things are pretty straightforward until the Rambam gets involved. Okay, so let's start with source 2. Bavli Amasechus Ksuba Staf Kof Yonam and Beis. Nasa Isha Be'eretz Yisrael V'Girsha B'Kaput Kaya. You marry a woman in Eretz Yisrael, and unfortunately there's a divorce that occurs elsewhere. Now here's going to be the question. Which currency is owed to the woman? You promised her 200, right? That's the core ksuba, the requirement is 200. But is it going to be in the currency of Eretz Yisrael, where you married her, or in the currency of Kaput Kaya, this other realm or province or land where you divorced her? What's the question, Arthur?
You paid 200 until you divorced.
I'm sorry?
Right. Yeah.
What the stipulation is, if there's a divorce, in order to make sure that your financial needs are still taken care of, I'm going to provide 200 X. While they're married, he's obligated to provide for her. Right. While they're married, he's obligated to, he has all sorts of obligations towards his wife. She'er, ksos, ona, many other obligations, midrabanan. And even some of those, maybe midrabanan. But he has many obligations towards his wife when he gets married. The 200 is stipulated for after the divorce. Okay? Yeah, it's basically to ensure that now you no longer have my income taken care of you. And obviously, traditionally, the men were the ones who were providing income in a traditional society. So he's making sure that it's to ensure, in order to ensure, we'll see what the exact purpose of Ksuba was, but at the basic level for now, he's ensuring that she'll have some financial stability after a divorce. So the question is, if they get married in country number one and they divorce in country number two, which currency is going to be used for the Ksuba? Now, just as a piece of background, the assumption of this Mishnah is that the currency of Eretz Yisrael is not worth as much as Kaput Kaya. So you're dealing with Shkalim and dollars or euros, okay?
Doesn't make a difference of her state of mind, meaning she said, oh, I'm
let's see what the Mishnah says. Let's see what the Mishnah says.
New York.
Let's see what the Mishnah says. Let's see what the Mishnah says. Let's see what the Mishnah says. Nozah Yishav Eretz Yisrael v'gersha b'kaput kaya. Nozin lo mima'os Eretz Yisrael. You give her the currency of Eretz Yisrael, which is where you got married, and is also the lesser currency. Nasa isha b'kaput kaya v'girsha b'Eretz Yisrael. So let's say the opposite occurs. You married her in Kaput Kaya and divorced her in Eretz Yisrael. No sin lami ma'oz Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Mishnah says, you give her from Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says the woman effectively gets shafted here, and no matter what case you're in, whether you got married in Eretz Yisrael or moved and divorced in Kaput Kaya or the opposite, you give her the lesser currency. Ma'oz Eretz Yisrael. Shem b'gamliel omer, no sein lami ma'os kaput kaya. Shem Gamliel says, no, it's...
On both statements?
I'm sorry. Rabbi Shem Gamliel omer, no sein lami ma'os kaput kaya, no sein isha b'kaput kaya, v'girsha b'kaput kaya, no sein lami ma'os kaput kaya. Sorry. So Shem Gamliel says, in the second case, where you married in kaput kaya, you give her the money of kaput kaya. In other words, it follows where you got married, not where you get divorced. Chaim, what's the look?
Gemara didn't understand that money is fungible?
What do you mean, didn't understand that money is fungible?
What does it say in the Ksuba?
200, whatever. 200 of the law.
So it should be an equal amount of...
What do we care what you give it?
Or let's say you didn't stipulate in a shtar. In certain cases, even if you didn't stipulate in a shtar, you're obligated to pay the Ksuba.
Is that what this is talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Non-stipulation?
Yeah, I mean, presumably, if it's stipulated 200 zakukin, then you give 200 zakukin. If it's 200 shkalim, you give 200 shkalim.
If it's not stipulated, yeah, we give it as
right.
The currency of the state of Eretz Yisrael, but we give it in the local currency.
Exactly. So the Tanakama...
No, but it should be a set amount, no matter which country...
We're not talking about the actual dollar.
No matter which country you're in, because you could have done it in March. You know,
how would you even stipulate that? 200...
200
okay.
is a penny.
Right. Okay, so I mean, presumably you're right. Theoretically, I don't think in you'd have to wonder if you did it in Weimar when all your life savings was worth the paper that it was printed on or less.
Commodities rather than the.
Okay, but it's definitely set in. Clearly, we often set it in currencies, and if it's not stipulated, the question is which currency do we do it in? So, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it follows what? The place where you get married. That's highly logical, right? The assumption when they got married was that's the currency that you're going to be using. But we have this Tanakama that says that you use the lesser amount regardless of the circumstance. Okay? Why should that be the case? So let's take a look at the Gemara. And that's not the whole Mishnah. I'm splicing a little bit, but I'm quoting the relevant sections for us. Nasa Isha. So the Gemara says, again, source 2, second paragraph, Hagufa Kasha, you have a problem with this Tanakama. Katani nasa isha be'eretz Yisrael v'girsha be'kaput kaya, nosa in lami ma'os eretz Yisrael. Alma basa shibuda azlinan. First case, you told me that you go after the place where they got married. Basa shibuda azlinan, the place where he took upon himself that obligation. Ema seifa, but if you look at the second case, nasa isha be'kaput kaya v'girsha be'eretz Yisrael, nosa in lami ma'os eretz Yisrael, alma basa guvayna azlinan. In the second case, you're following not the area where he took upon himself the initial obligation, but the place where she's going to collect it. Namely, which one is it? Is it the place where they got married, or is it the place where they got divorced? So underline, Amar Rabba, Mekulei ksuba shanu kan, kasavar ksuba derabanan. Rabba says, ksuba derabanan, really on a biblical level, he should not be obligated to give this to her in the first place. And because this is only a rabbinic obligation, the rabbis cut him a break, and they said, okay, you have to pay the ksuba, but we're not going to make you pay the more expensive currency, just give her the lesser of the two currencies. Okay? Great question. So what is the next line in the Gemara? Well, this is actually the next line in the Gemara. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, that third paragraph, again underlined, Nosen lami ma'os kaput kaya. Why does he disagree? Why does he hold that you give them ma'os kaput kaya? Ksavar ksuba de'oraisa. He holds that ksuba is de'oraisa. Like we said, that's a highly logical position, that the place where you took upon yourself the obligation, that was the understanding between the man and the woman, that's the currency that you are obligated to pay. So we see explicitly that the Gemara here on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis asserts that there is a machlokas tanoim, not just a machlokas amoraim, a machlokas tanoim about ksuba d'oraisa, ksuba d'rabbanan. We have a nafkamina for which currency you use. If ksuba is d'oraisa, you're going to use the currency of the place where you got married. Ksuba is d'rabbanan, use the lesser of the two.
According to the Raisa, don't you usually go according to what's machmor?
According to?
You take the currency that's of more value, because it's the Raisa.
No. We have a principle.
What would you do if you get married in Israel and you divorce the Kapit Kaya?
Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, but if it's what about if we hold it to
the
oraisa?
Yeah. So Nathan, what you're referencing is the principle of sfeika de oraisa l'chumra. Okay?
But this is not a sfeika.
Right, we're saying it's not a suffix. It's not a suffix. What we're saying is the de oraisa din should be. What we're saying is essentially as follows. Really, what makes sense is that you should have to pay the currency of where you got married. So if it's a din de oraisa, you pay the currency of where you got married. If it's derabanan, because you weren't really obligated to pay this in the first place, derabanan cut you a break and said use the lesser currency. Okay? So there's no suffix involved. It's just that if it's the Rabbana and they were mekil, mekulei ksuba shanu kan, they didn't make you pay as much. If it's the oraisa, you have to pay the amount. These are just placeholders.
No,
these are not. It's not.
Eretz Yisrael is not. The problem with the rabbis taking the position of not protecting the woman.
They are protecting the woman. They're the ones who instituted this in the first place. On the contrary.
Without the rabbis, it would be nothing. You'd get zero.
Right. In other words, they're saying, no, if you take the position of ksuba derabanan, she wouldn't be entitled to anything. The rabbis went out of their way to protect the woman. On the contrary.
But then they're shortchanging her.
Okay, I mean, like,
no,
Arthur,
no,
they could have...
You're assuming that she's shortchanging.
Again, Arthur... Arthur, for example, Arthur, they said it's 200. Theoretically, they could have said 1,000. They had to decide what exactly the proper amount was. So they're not shortchanging her. They were the ones who instituted this in the first place. They're just saying that, you know, there has to be limitations. And they're saying that we're instituting this, but we're not going to make him pay the greater amount because of the fact that he really, on a biblical level, shouldn't be obligated to pay at all. And when, you know...
Just making that lower.
Because, again, they felt that 200... Let's say they felt that 200 spending units in whatever country you're in is sufficient to take care of her for a certain amount of time. So they're making sure that she has that. If they get divorced in Kaput Kaya, they're making sure that she has those 200 spending units in Kaput Kaya. Okay. So that's the first...
When they say divorce, they're talking about a get.
Yeah. Halachic divorce is always conducted through a get. Yeah. Okay, fine. So that's the first Gemara that talks about this issue and asserts that indeed it's a machlokas tanoim. Let's take a step back to our Gemara, source one. And we're going to see that there are two other issues that the Gemara says are contingent on... Ksuba d'oraisa, ksuba d'rabban. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. This is Daf Tes Amud Beis. Hopefully when I get the full Maror Makom HaSheet, I'll get us our Gemaras again, like the actual Gemara. But for now, we'll just deal with this quotation. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ha'omer Pesach Pasuach Matzazi, Ne'eman Lehafsida Ksubasa. If you say Pesach Pasuach, you are believed to remove her ksuba. Right? A guy, after the first night, claims that the woman told me she was a basula, she was a virgin, she had never had a relationship with another man, she wasn't. How does he know? That's a great question. So when we did the sugya...
That's the question I had when we did the
sugya. When we did the sugya of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha di Yisura...
How does he know?
It's a great question. Hold on 1 second. So Morty, you should know, right? That was exactly the question that we discussed, right? That was the question in the Rashba, whether or not... So Howard, when we did the sugya of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha di Yisura, we discussed how he knows. According to some positions in the Rishonim, it's specifically a baki, somebody who's been married before, who knows. According to other Rishonim, it's not if it's. I'm sorry. It's even if it's not a baki, Right, but that depends on the lamdas of Shavi and Ashe Chatecha Disur. When we did Shavi and Ashe Chatecha Disur, we discussed how much it's a neder versus how much it's like a ne'eman, so how much it's believability. And that might determine whether or not it's a bucky. So as it happens, Howard, the Gemara says that if a bachur who's never been married before claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, we give him like Malkus. Okay? There's Machlokas, we've shown him why we give him Malkus. Two deos. One option is, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's just bad-mouthing this poor woman who he just married. That's one option. The other option is, we assume that he does know what he's talking about, but if he knows what he's talking about, then obviously he's been hanging, you know, he's been hanging out in the Kupas Zonos. That's what the other Rishonim say. So, whether he knows what he's talking about or doesn't know what he's talking about, he's got a problem. So we give him Malkus.
What's the problem for the woman?
What?
Now she's not a Besula, she's not married, you know, she's not married.
Okay. So according to one position in the Gemara, he's ne'eman le'osra alav, that we saw, that's the Gemara in the Testament Aleph. He's believed to create a prohibition upon himself based on the halachic principle of Shavi Anafshei Chatecha Disura. It's a much larger topic, which we won't get back into.
But he can't take her
ksuba. Yet, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he's believed to remove her ksuba. He's believed to remove her ksuba just by claiming that she wasn't a virgin. So, Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, this is the Gemara much later on that first line is on Daf Tesamud Beis. The Gemara Daf Yudam Adalaf explains, Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, B'shem Rav Shimon Ben Elazar. Rav Nachman said, B'shem Shmuel, B'shem Rav Shimon Ben Elazar. Chachamim tiknu lohem lebenos Yisrael lebesula masayim ul almana mona. V'heim ha'eminuhu, Shem Amar Pesach Pasuach Matzasi ne'eman. Exactly.
The whole
principle is the Rabbanan. They're the ones who gave it to her, right? They gave it to her. They're the ones who gave it to her in the first place in order to protect her. They also believed him that when he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, he should be believed.
What? Chachamim tiknu lehem lebenos Yisrael masayim and amana. Doesn't say that it's a derabbanan of deraisa. The amount they set
looks pretty clear cut. So it's chachamim tiknu.
No, the amount they set.
No. But then he shouldn't be believed to get. Then how is he? Then how can you say that he's believed to get rid of the ksuba by saying pesach pasuach matzasi?
It's deraisa, right? How can they do it?
What you're saying is good. We'll see that according to some positions, the concept of ksuba is deraisa, but.
The amount
is derabanan.
Because if it was a doraisa, you would have.
We'll get there. Slow down. Shkalim, all that stuff is discussed in Tosos. Tosos on. We'll get there. Tosos on Daf Yud and on Daf Kuf Yud, on both of the Gemaras that we just discussed, talk about the issue of Shkalim, talk about the issue of whether the amount is deraisa. That's all discussion in Tosos. But here, clearly, it's derabanan, right? Even if you want to say it's just the amount, then how would you say he's believed to get rid of the entire ksuba? So the Gemara, what is the Gemara? The Gemara next asks an obvious question. If your whole purpose was to protect this woman, then by saying he's believed to get rid of it just by claiming Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, what have you accomplished? How have you actually protected her? Right? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava Chazaka Inam Toriach Pesuda Umafsida. The Chachamim said that the Rava says that they generally, there's a general operating assumption, there's a Chazaka, that a person's not going to prepare the whole wedding and then just get rid of her. So if he's making that claim, he obviously believes it to be true, and then we get into the whole Shavi Anafshe issue, or possibly not, but Ne'eman Lahafsida Ksubasa, that's why he's believed to make her lose her Ksuba. But again, what does that seem contingent on? It seems contingent on Ksuba being Midrabana. Now, if Ksuba is De'oraisa, should he be believed or should he not? Why shouldn't he be believed? Let's think about this for a second. He claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi.
Yeah.
So should he be believed or should he not? Well, no. Well, let's. Who's trying to extract money from whom?
She's
trying to extract money from him, right?
Right.
So we should say Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. So she should be believed, right? So I'm sorry. So even if it's Doraisa, he should be believed.
Why?
Why?
He doesn't want to spend the money.
But Hamazi Mechavero Alav Haraya.
He's not trying to extract the money. Look,
He triggered the
whole thing.
So what you guys are essentially saying is that she has a ksuba. In other words, it's true Hamazi Mechavero Alav Haraya, but she has a ksuba that she's presenting.
He's trying to
get out of the ksuba.
Right. So it's for his benefit.
Yeah, that's true. But again, in general, the starting point, whenever we deal with Dinei Mamonos, is Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Arayah. That's always square one. Yeah. Okay? She's trying to get money from him.
That money sets off from the beginning.
Yeah, she is.
He's trying to get rid of it.
He's trying not to pay it.
Right.
But that money was set up at the
square,
the wedding.
1 second. Square one is she's trying to get money from him.
No.
Yes.
No. She wants money.
He owes her money. He's trying not to pay.
Yes. Okay. You're right, Arthur. That's step two. But clearly, he has the money right now, and she wants to get it. That's clear, right? He has the money in his pocket. He has the money in his pocket. She wants to get it. That's Amozi Mecha Relav Arayin. She presents a star that says, you owe me this money. Now, that's her evidence that the money is owed to her, right? Then he claims, I'm trying to get out of that through Pesach Asura Matzasi. That's very clear, right? Let's say I lent you money, okay? Who's trying to get money from whom? I'm trying to get money from you, right? Now, I may have a star that proves that you owe me the money, and you make whatever claims.
It's not his money, it's her money.
No, it's whoever physically again, has the money.
What Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Arayah means that
who is owed the money? Yeah,
where exactly.
Where is the money?
Is the right money? If I lend you money, you owe me money, right? But obviously, if we come into court and I claim you owe me money and you claim I never borrowed it from him,
right?
Who Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Arayah? I'm trying to extract money from you.
Okay.
So it's not a question of who owes the money. It's a question of where is the money now.
Yes, but there's an extenuating circumstances here that initiated the whole situation.
No. Again, Arthur, I'm just, you're not wrong. I'm just trying to construct the steps here. In other words, the money's in his possession right now. She's trying to claim it. She presents.
Who's making the claim?
Exactly. She's making a claim against him. In other words, let's put it that way. She's making a claim for 200. She's making a claim. That's Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Arayah. She presents her ksuba. That is her raya. That is her proof. Okay? Now he owes it to her, and he's trying to get out of it. Now it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Why should he be believed if he's trying to get out of it?
So if we say ksuba de orai, so we're saying he wouldn't be believed. If we're saying ksuba de rabbanon, again, the rabbanon instituted the protection in the first place. They think that if ein olam toreach b'sudu mafsido, there's this general operating assumption that the guy wouldn't lie about something like this.
The reason is because the rabbanon created a logic to put a ksuba on.
The assumption is that he wouldn't go out of his way to make this whole wedding and get,
and then just
divorce. What? Arthur, why is he divorcing her?
Because he hates her. Pusuk says it.
It's the next day. It's the next day.
Says it.
No. The Pusuk is talking about a case of...
He says it's not going to work.
The first day. First day, Arthur. Already sees it's not going to work. So the Chachamim say there's a general assumption. That's not how things work.
The first day or the 30th day. What's the difference?
There's a general assumption that a person doesn't get married and then the first day realizes it's not going to work and divorce her. And that's not an unreasonable assumption at all. The assumption is that if he wants to get divorced on the first day, it's because... the woman had, he assumes that she had an affair. That's a very reasonable assumption. So we see a second nafkamina of ksuvas isha mida oraisa or mida rabbanon. If it's mida oraisa, if it's biblical, okay, then he won't be believed when he says, pesah pasuach matzasi. If it's rabbinic, because the chachamim assume a guy's not just going to get married and then divorce the woman the next day, he's believed to say, pesah pasuach matzasi. Second nafkamina. Fine. Next, Tana. Hovil uknas chachamim hu. You see the second paragraph in source one?
Yeah.
This is the continuation of the Gemara. Hovil uknas chachamim hu lo tikva ela min haziboris. Generally, rabbinic obligations, there are different categories of
property, land,
grain, okay? There's idis, that's the most quality, that's the AAA or whatever. There's the beinonis, the regular, the middle quality, the middle grade, and there's ziboris. That's the lesser quality. As a general rule, if you're only obligated to pay something on a rabbinic level, you pay min haziboris. Because on a biblical level, you weren't obligated to pay it in the first place, you pay from the lesser quality material. So Tana, ha'olu knas chachamim hu lo tikva ela min haziboris. Now, keep in mind, the monetary value is going to be the same, right? It's a question of just whether you have less of the top quality stuff or more of the lesser quality stuff. It's going to amount to the same monetary value. It's just a question of how you get it. And it's generally assumed that people prefer less of the idis than more of the ziboris, even though technically the monetary value is going to be the same.
It's like collect. Did you say generally people prefer what?
It's people prefer to collect in $100 bills than in pennies. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It's going to be the same amount, but instead
of land,
right?
It's 2 acres of this.
No, let's deal with quality of produce.
Right.
Okay, people want the best quality produce, less of the best quality than more of.
It could also be location. It could be,
But let's for simplicity's sake now, people would rather collect their bill in $100 bills than in barrels of pennies. Okay. So generally, when there's a rabbinic obligation, you only collect from the lesser material. Knasa, so the Gemara asks, Knasa, my Knasa. How is this a Knas? Very strange Shakavataria. We're going to come back to this, okay? But for now, let's just hammer down some of the details. The Gemara, for some reason, doesn't like the language of Knas. What's a Knas? Knas is a fine or a penalty. So the Gemara doesn't like the language of Knas. It's not a fine or a penalty, but it's a Takonas Chachamim. It's a rabbinic institution.
Are there
the
rights of Knasim? Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Ones. Yeah. Dal Behe, Kefel, Ones Umafuta.
Knas doesn't mean Drabonin.
No. There can be Knas Drabonin as well.
Right, of course. But this is Tikvah
Chachamim. Right. So it's a Takonas Chachamim, and because it's only rabbinic, Lo Tikvah Elam and Aziboris, you collect from the lesser quality produce. Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, Omar Ksubas Isha Min HaTorah. Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, who says Ksubas Isha Min HaTorah. And we had him before as well. He was indeed the person who holds that it's... Exactly. He was the person who sat on Daf Kuf Yud, that it's Midoreis. He's consistent. Fine. So far we have three cases of Ksuba Deoreis, Ksuba Derabbanan, and three Nafkaminas. Number one, which currency is she given? Number two, well, and we'll go over this all at the end. Number two, is he believed when he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi to make her lose her Ksuba? Again, he's Ne'eman La'osra Alav. That everybody agrees. That's Shavi Anav Shechatich Adisura. We spent like a month and a half talking about that Sugya. But whether or not he's believed to make her lose her ksuba is contingent on this issue. And finally, does she collect from the highest quality produce or the lowest quality produce? Finally, there's one fourth issue.
If it's destroyed by any chance, then it should, we always say you can't live with her without your ksuba.
So let's get...
Difference to the Rabbanan and the Raisa. If it's a Raisa, you should surely not be able to live without...
Maybe, but almost in the opposite direction. That's going to be the final thing that we get to. Let's take a look at Source 3. Source 3. No, I understand. That's not... The Pasuk never says it's the day after they got married.
No, yeah.
Some law, yeah.
And Shemra, and then he does...
Oh, no, because that's the... Yeah, that's the context of Motzi... That's the context of Motzi Shemra.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. He hates her. He married her, he hates her.
It's a shotgun wedding.
Whatever it was. Uh-huh. And that's why he's divorcing her the next day. That's why he's coming out with him, because he hates her for whatever reason.
Right. Okay. No, that's not a bad point. I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you were saying before. But again, there's still. I think it's still fair to say that as a general rule,
people don't do it.
Most people don't.
There is a reason.
What are we arguing? The Rabbanan said it already. So let's accept the Rabbanan's logic.
I'm all for that. Source number three. Mishnah and Ksubos Davnan Dalad Amud Beis. This is the Mishnah that kicks off the fifth parak of Ksubos. The fifth parak of Ksubos is a very interesting parak, parak Afal Pi. And that's where a lot of the halachos of Ksuba itself actually come up. The earlier parak, Ksubos is a mesechta, it's called Shas Katan, Ksubos. Because every daf, there's a sugya from another area of Shas. You go through just the first 10 blot of Ksubos, you have Moed, you have Tanim Nezikin, Nashim, there's like a lot of the sugya of Psik Reshe on Shabbos comes up there, Ochel Nefesh on Yontif comes up there, Avelos comes up, there's every daf has a new topic. So a lot of the Ksuba proper sugya is about both the text of the Ksuba and about the obligations between husband and wife, both biblical and rabbinic, actually come up in this fifth parak of Ksubos.
Parak
A? Yeah. Parak Afal Pi. That's the name of the parak? It's parak Hamishi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imratza Kosev, this is the, I'm quoting you from the middle of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imratza Kosev Lebesula, Shtar Shal Masayim. Okay, if they make a certain agreement in advance, he can write her a shtar that says, I owe you 200. What would that be called? A ksuba. V'hi Kosev, this is Kabalti Mimeich Mana. If, I don't know, let's say they're exceedingly poor and he's nervous that if there's a divorce, he will never be able to afford the 200. They can make an agreement in advance that if they get divorced.
They can make a private.
They can make a private agreement.
For less money.
Exactly. They can certainly do more, right? That's called Tosefes Ksuba. But there's actually an interesting machlokas about Tosefes Ksuba. Can you add it to like the Ikar Ksuba? Or can you only make it, is it 200 plus 400? Or can you just say 600? Or can you just say 600? Because that gets back to Morty's point. The Torah never stipulates the amount. It's not like... Right. That's why it seems to be a machlokas Rishonim between Tosefos and the Ran. That's just like an interesting machlokas. I guess the lumbus of Tosefos Ksuba. So that's the question of whether they can add more. I mentioned that because you asked, can I add more? So they definitely can add more through Tosefes. They may even be able to add more to the Ikar Ksuba. The question now is, can they take away from the Ikar Ksuba? And he's not saying that I'm only going to give you 100. He's saying I'm going to give you 200. And she's saying, it's as if I accepted from you 100 already. They can make, review this as they can make this private agreement. That's into the second line. And an almana can do the same thing. He says to her, I'm obligated to pay you 100. She can make this private agreement and say, okay, it's as if I accepted from you 50. Tosefes in the opposite direction. But Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, if you do this, it's like there's ilasnos. You cannot be poches min haksuba. You cannot make a ksuba any less than 200 or 100, even in the case of a private agreement.
Why does the rabbanim should make no difference?
Let's just take a look at what the Gemara says.
Why does he use be'ilasnos?
Great question. We'll get back to that. It's a very strong language, right? Why is it be'ilasnos?
Is it be'ilasnos if you have no ksuba?
Is it be'ilasnos if you don't have? Rabbi Meir is saying it is. That's in other words, yeah.
He's saying, says you're sure.
Certainly, if it's poches min haksuba, it's be'ilasnos.
What happens if
it's
a side issue? What happens? I heard also
halacha
lemaisa. Let's say a woman doesn't know where
her
ksuba is.
It's a problem. It's a real issue.
It's a real issue.
Fine,
yeah.
You got to rewrite it.
So she's not living with the husband.
I don't know what we say about it, but we definitely try to make sure that she gets a new ksuba very quickly. Right. Yeah, it's like a serious issue. You know, it's a.
It's a fire.
All sorts of cases come up. Cases come up at a wedding when they realize that there's a problem in the ksuba. And the chasen and kala are already in the yichud room. They like go charging to the yichud room to try to get them out of there until they correct the ksuba, and then they do yichud again.
They realize that the tish.
Sometimes you don't notice. Sometimes you forgot to extend the nun in kanina, or like there are all sorts of things that you can accidentally mix up in a ksuba. Just like my brother's ksuba, they always tell you.
Always bring an extra
ksuba. So first of all, it's a tosis at the beginning of ksubas. They say, Leka ksuba de l'rami batigra. There's no ksuba that doesn't have any problems with it. Ketosis, we're talking about negotiations between the husband's family and the wife's family. Usually that doesn't happen nowadays. But they always tell you to bring multiple ones. And halacha l'maisa, this past Sunday, my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig was filling out my brother's ksuba. He was in Masala Kiddushin. And he accidentally mixed something up. And he said, give me the second ksuba. They threw out the first one, and then they took the second one. So it's always good to have... second one available. Sometimes they'll notice, oh, they accidentally wrote the wrong date because Shkia was this time and they wrote that time. Or they wrote Brooklyn and it's really technically not in Brooklyn, it's somewhere else. Like, all sorts of issues can come up. So sometimes they'll notice, or an aide will tell the Masada Kiddushin, oh, it was really so nice signing on my cousin's ksuba. You know, something like that. So they'll have to rewrite it, and they charge to the yichud room. It's happened, and they knock on the door, they try to make sure the person comes out. And they write the ksuba, and then they do yichud. Fine. So Rabbi Meir and Chaim, it is important that lashon of be'ilas nos, and it's a lashon that we'll get. It's a lashon that we'll get back to. It's a very important lashon.
Before the ksuba was ever read or written.
Okay, Rabbi Meir saying nonetheless, a marriage without a ksuba is somehow akin to be'ilas nos. We'll have to explore what exactly that means.
No, he's not saying that.
Yeah,
he's saying even more.
Yeah, if you lessen from a ksuba, yeah, exactly. So the Gemara explains this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Now, just one piece of background information before we explain the machlokes. In general, there's a principle called Masna al mashakasa batora tnao batal.
Masna
al mashakasa batora tnao batal. Let's take a step back. In general, there are certain areas of halacha, not all areas, some areas of halacha where I can make a tanai. I can say to an isha, harayat mikudashasli amanas, that it rains next week, next Tuesday. And as long as I formulate it in a particular way, and I fulfill what's called the Mishpatei HaTanayim, I formulate it the proper way, the marriage will only be effective in the event that the Tanai comes true, okay? But then there are areas called Masna al-Mashakasa b'Torah. So to give you one classic example, let's say he says to the woman, I'm hereby marrying you on condition that I'm not obligated in mitzvahs ona. You know there's a mitzvah ona, a man is obligated to spend intimate time with his wife, certain amount of times, depending on... Exactly, you can't masna al mashakasa batora tana ubatal. Now, why exactly it doesn't work is big machlokes rishonim, but you can't make a stipulation on what's written in the Torah. The one exception that exists is tanai davar shebimamon. By monetary obligations, you can make a stipulation. So if instead of saying Hamanasha in lachalai ona, he says instead of getting rid of my obligation towards marital intimacy, he says Hamanasha in lachalai she'eruksus, that I don't have to pay for your, you know what, you're a high powered lawyer. I'll marry you, but on condition that I don't have to provide for your mizonos. Right, exactly. Then the tzai does work. Okay, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the way we pass it. Again, why it works also machlokas rishonim, but in terms of just the simple details, you're allowed to stipulate on a tanai davarship b'mamon. Source 4.
Can I say I want to give you get married to you with something less than the shabbat proto?
No, that will not work. Well, probably won't work. There is a concept called Lididi Shavili, where there are certain cases where a woman can say,
yeah, if he's very important, then she has a hana'ah that's greater than the
shavuot. No. Then you could be mekadesh with the hana'ah. That's something different. In other words, the Gemara says you could be mekadesh with schok lefanai, rekod lefanai. Let's say you're a really great breakdancer, and the hana'ah from watching you breakdance is worth. So certain cases Lididi Shavili. For example,
like
there are certain cases.
A very special person.
Adam Chashuv, yeah, so like, by an Adam Chashuv, no, but that's also different. Adam Chashuv is also different, because there you receive Hana from the Adam Chashuv. But there's a concept called Lididi Shavli. Let's say you have to do Pidin Aben. Pidin Aben requires 5 slime. This is a thing we discussed in the Pesach Kamash here also. Pidin Aben requires 5 slime. So let's say I give a Kohen, the example in the Gemara is Rav Kahana, who needed a yarmulke. Okay? He needed a yarmulke, so somebody gave him like a rag to put on his head, and it was a sudr, right? And it wasn't worth 5 slime, and he says, Lididi Shavali, for me this is worth 5 slime, because I really need this. So now whether or not you can turn a Pachos Mishava Pruta into a Pruta through Lididi Shavali is a big question. That's the Ron raises that issue, and he has two positions on whether or not it actually works.
So how does that fit with Rav Meir?
That's also a whole separate topic. What?
How does that fit with what Rav Meir is saying?
Okay, so thank you. Let's get with what Rav Meir is saying.
Let's see what the Gemara says.
Rabbi Yehuda says what? She's allowed to write to him, I accepted the mos, okay? She's allowed to write that to him, but she can't just say it. If she just says it, that does not work. The Gemara asks why? It's a davar shebe mamon. Even like the Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar davar shebe mamon to now kaim, and we know the Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though you generally can't stipulate on a din de oraisa, if it's a monetary obligation, then you can. Tisanya, second line on source 4, as we learned in a braisa, haomer leisha hareat mikudeshes li amanasha ein loch alaisha erkesos veona. Exactly, this is I give you guys the stock example. Okay, a man is performs kiddushin, but says on condition that I don't have the standard obligations of providing you clothing, food, and marital intimacy. Harezu mikudeshes tuna obata. Divrei, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the entire tanai does not work. It's masna masha kasav batorah. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'davar shebimamon tuna okayim. By the davar shebimamon, namely the she'eru ksus parts, where that's a monetary obligation to the woman. It's Kayam, the Tanai works. So why doesn't it work here? Why does he specifically need to write it? Why does she specifically need to write it? Why can't she just stipulate that it's as if I received it? Tanai davar shebe mamon, Tanai Kayam. Slow down, we'll get to Rabbi Meir. No. Rabbi Meir holds that even if you left out Ono, it wouldn't work. Mazda Mashakos Batara doesn't work at all, according to Rabbi Meir.
No, I thought he maybe was a cut of all three.
Kesava Rabbi, it would seem to be consistent, but.
Okay.
But we'll see what the Gemara says. Ksever Rabbi Yehuda, ksuva derabanan, v'chachamim asur chizuk l'devrayim yosar mishal Torah. It's one of those ironic cases where a derabanan is more chamor than a deoraisa. Basically, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it should work, but because ksuva is midirabanan, and the chachamim were really intent on ensuring that protection for the isha existed, they made a rabbinic stipulation that you can't lessen the amount. If it were biblical, you really would be able to stipulate that the amount should be less. But because it's a mitzvah sachamim, asu chizuk l'devrayim yosar mishal Torah, they said it has to be 200, and you can't make it any less. Fine, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir omer kol apoches. Okay, so kol apoches min haksuba is harezu ba'oel be'ilas zunus. Okay? So, says the Gemara, kol apoches afilu b'tana'a. If you make it less, even with a tanai, even through verbal stipulation, alma kasavar tanao batel the isla the kivan de amar leis leich elamana lo samcha daita This is the way, so Ben, this is what I was telling you. This is the way the Gemara understands the position of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara understands that, according to Rabbi Meir, the Tanai does not work. Okay? It does not work. And because you are misleading her into thinking that she's entitled to less than she's really entitled to, that's why it's Be'ilasnus. In other words, you misleading this woman already from the outset regarding the marriage about how much you're entitled to give her, you lying and telling her that you're only obligated to give her 100 when you're really obligated to give her 2, is why it's be'ilas znos. So the Gemara asks, Hasham inon leila Rabbi Meir to Amar kolamas namashakosa b'torah tano batel habad rabbanon tano okayim. You're telling me that according to Rabbi Meir that tonight doesn't work, but we know that according to Rabbi Meir by a derabbanon, Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir who holds that Masna Mashakosa Batorah doesn't work, by a Durabanan, it does work.
See, must hold the
Rabbi Meir Ksuba Doraisa. That's what the Gemara concludes. So we have this fourth Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Ksuba Midoraisa, Ksuba Midorabanan, and what is the Nafkamina? According to Rabbi Yehuda, now again, this one's a little more complicated because there's a broader Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about Masna Mashakosa Batorah. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Ksuba is Midorabanan, ironically, Asuchizak Devreim Yosar Mishal Torah, according to, let's work specifically within Rabbi Meir. That will be easier for as we continue. According to Rabbi Meir, if Ksuba were midrabanan, then we would not say kol abal bi'ilas o bi'ilas nus. Why do we say it's bi'ilas nus? Specifically because Ksuba is deoraisa. Fine. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Now, so let's just, if we want to just summarize the nafkaminas, I wrote a quick summary over here. Which currency, pesapaso matzazi, from what does she collect, can you detract from to make suba? Can you take away from it to make suba? Now, we only have a couple minutes left. Like I said, we're mostly doing background here. But let me just forecast what the problem is going to be in the Rambam. Yeah.
You can't learn from Sfarad.
You have to have a pasuk. Right, so we mentioned that at the outset. We'll talk in future shiurim about what exactly the pasuk is. Rashi has three places in the Torah where he talks about, where he thinks Ksuba is implicitly referenced, and the Ramban rejects all three because the Ramban holds Ksuba to Rabban.
But where does Rameh hold?
We ask the same question of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, right? So the Gemara doesn't provide us a pasuk. That's, again, you can, it's never ideal. Unless the Gemara tells us that it's halakha l'moshe m'Sinai, we never want to just invoke that. You always want a pasuk. Again, if we can't find something, we'd have to say something like that. But and Rashi gives us a couple of options as to where Ksuba might appear. Obviously, none of them are explicit. If it was Mefurash Bakra, we wouldn't have anybody saying that Ksuba is either Rabbana. But we do have a couple of options as to what the pasuk is. Stan.
Is read at the tish, let's say. But
at the chuppah.
What about the cases where I've seen women's tishes?
Yeah, what about them? That's a new thing. Well, that's a new modern Orthodox thing. Right, so what about it?
What are the women reading?
You don't read anything. Again, you don't have to read anything at the chazan's tish is a minhag. The women's tish, which many would say is, you know, it's definitely. I mean, it's not the chazan's tish is a long-standing minhag. This kala's tish is a new minhag. There are no halachic restrictions guiding how to do that. I mean, some people would say it's chukas agoyim and this and that.
Kala's tish. So there's no when you come in.
I think what they do is they do it like early, like they have it. The Kala invites her friends earlier than the Kabbalah's Panim.
Parallel to the Chazan Stish.
Really?
What are you talking about?
No, that I've never seen. The way I've seen it done. The way I've seen it done.
I've never seen it.
The way I've seen it done. The way I've seen it done is that I have a friend who married a very, you know, I like her a lot, and she wanted she's like a more of a feminist, and she wanted a Kala Stish. So what they did was she invited her friends earlier than the Kabbalah's Panim. They had singing. I mean, I wasn't there, but I wasn't there. But they had singing. They had singing, and then she went to the Kabbalah's Panim, and in the same room as the Chazan's Tish. The Chazan's Tish took place where the Kabbalah's Tish was. There certainly aren't any halachic restrictions. Fine. So those are the four issues. What we're going to find in the Rambam is that the Rambam generally holds Ksuba as Midrabanan. He even explicates that Ksuba as Midrabanan in a number of different places. The problem is that he doesn't always paskin the issues the way he should. As we noted, there are four issues in the Gemara. For three of them, he holds straight up Ksuba Midrabanan. For this fourth one, of Kol HaBo'al Bi'ilas Bi'ilas Nos, all of a sudden he's holding like Rabbi Meir. And he throws in hints in a whole host of other places that Ksuba is not just Midrabanan, but indeed has the Oraisa ramifications. He defines Kiddushin. He defines, let's just look at one, as just as a quick hit, but we'll really go through it more systematically next week.
Teaser.
Yeah, just as a teaser for next week. Look at source 11, Koteret Lehilchos Ishos, okay? At the beginning of every set of halachos, the Rambam lists all the mitzvos that appear in that set of halachos. It's called the Koteret, or the crown of that set of halachos. Okay? Hilchos, and usually he only lists Dinim De'oraisa. The one exception that I know of is...
Where does he put this?
At the very beginning of every set of halachos. The Rambam is organized into 14 svarim, that's why it's called the Yalach HaZaka. Each sefer has different sets of halachos. Each set of halachos has different chapters, and each chapter is divided up into halachos. But at the beginning of every set of halachos, the Rambam tells you what mitzvos appear in that set of halachos. The one case where he says that it's counts mitzvos derabanan is Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, because the mitzvos are all midrabanan. And there, the Rambam says explicitly, he says, there's shtei mitzvos, v'heim midivrei sofrim. He tells you they're derabanan, and that's Megillah v'Chanukah. So usually he's counting dinim de'oraisa. Hilchos Ishos, yesh b'chol on arba mitzvos, four mitzvos, shtei mitzvos asei, shtei mitzvos lo sa'asei, two positive commands, two imperatives, and two prohibitions. V'zehu pratan, aleph, lisa isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin. What is the mitzvah? To marry a woman not just through kiddushin? Ksuba v'kiddushin. And what is the first lo sa'asei? She lo ti ba'el isha b'lo ksuba v'kiddushin. Fine, you want to tell me the first one, you're just throwing in ksuba. You're telling me there's a prohibition of bia, there's a prohibition of marital intimacy, or in this case, not marital, but of a sexual relationship without ksuba v'kiddushin? You just told me ksuba's midrabanan. How can you tell me that there's an isra d'oraisa to have a relationship with a woman without a ksuba? And as we'll see, this problem permeates throughout many piskei Rambam, and so in the Be'ez Hashem, we'll try to begin navigating next week. Shkoyach.
No, but me, after the time, you know. No.